On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking about the hidden agenda, genetic manipulation, one world government with F. William Ingdahl. So get ready for that. When we come back in just a moment with Ali Marzulli, we'll take final phone calls this hour. And we'll start with you, Michelle, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go back to Michelle now, Castle Rock, Colorado. Michelle, there you are. Take it away.
Hi. You know, I could go on and on with this stuff, but I know I have just a short time. But I do, I'm hoping...
Well, you've got more time now, Michelle, than you did before the break, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping that maybe LA could shed some light, or maybe, George, maybe you had heard of this. Something happened to my father and I back on March 13th of this year. It had to do with the sun. Got up to go to church, looked outside, looked at the sun, and you can't really look at the sun. It's too bright. But my father and I were able to look at it for 7 minutes, and what we saw, and I know this sounds crazy, what we saw was like a bluish-gray disc, and it was vibrating, and it seemed closer to the earth. And what happened is the clouds surrounding it started turning pink or amber, and I thought, okay, maybe that's my retinas or something. But it was for 7 minutes that we looked at it. Now, I waited a couple of days. I did, of course, go to my church, the deacons investigating it, but I looked online to see if anyone else had seen this, and what I saw was there was a tremendous amount of blogs about the sun going out, and it was exactly the time that we were looking at the sun, and they kept saying on the internet that the sun went out for a long period of time. Now, have you heard of that?
I haven't. How about you, Lynn?
Well, yeah. I mean, we keep getting reports from people that come across my desk all the time. And you remember,
NASA in Soho was on, had filmed it.
Look, something is going on. Enough people. I mean, just like the in the last hour, the truck driver Mitch was telling us that, you know, the sun's coming up now in Colorado at 4:30 in the morning. It shouldn't be there. He's been driving a truck for 20 years. The man knows what he's talking about. You know, he's not a scientist, but he knows the way things are supposed to be. And guess what? They're
not that way anymore. Right. He's right. Because 4 o'clock in the morning, the birds are chirping.
You know, the Book of Enoch, which is you know, a very interesting book, tells us, and in those days the sun shall be seen, and it shall journey in the evening on the extremity of the great chariot in the west, and shall shine more brightly than accords with the order of light. And it goes, you know, it goes on from there. The bottom line is the moon shall not, and the moon shall alter her order. What we're seeing are signs in the heavens. I mean, we're told that in prophecy, that this is exactly what we would be seeing. And the part that bothers me, Michelle, is the prophecy of men fainting from fear from what is coming on the earth. I mean, that's a very broad umbrella. We're not sure what that is. Is it a 3-mile-wide mothership or flotilla of motherships? Is it, you know, Comet Elenin or Nibiru or Planet X? We don't know. It will become self-evident. But, I mean, I think we're living in the time where we're going to see that prophecy fulfilled. I really do.
Well, you never know. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate you holding so long as well. If you went back into time and looked at the events over the same periods that you did for what's going on now, do you think it would show this kind of activity that we're seeing now?
Absolutely not. No. Absolutely not. I mean, I'm a news hound, and I've been tracking this stuff, as you know, for, you know, over 20 years. And something shifted in the latter part of 2009. I blogged about it on my blog, George. I said, look, guys, I'm not sure what I'm looking at, but I feel that something has shifted. I'm feeling it and just sort of in a spiritual way, okay? Something has shifted, and I don't know what that is. And I blogged about it. I went out on a limb and blogged about it. And this was like in November of 2009. And sure enough, 2010, it started. I was recently on a panel with a group of other researchers. We pretty much all have the same worldview, and we were asked. Stan Day was one of them, by the way. And Jim Williamson was another. And we were all asked, what period of time do you think we're living in? Are we in the birth pangs? In fact, it was on Matthew Miller's show, the End Time Tribune. And we all said, and there was no, you know, corroboration or collusion between any of us before the show. And we had no idea who was going to ask us this. And we all agreed that, yeah, these are the birth pangs. We are in a season of time unlike any other. So, and I think, George, some of this stuff is supernatural. I mean, I really believe that some of this stuff is being caused in a supernatural way. And I realize people out there are rolling their eyeballs maybe, but go back and read the book of Job. And this all gets into the cosmic chess match stuff, which is the new book I'm working on. It'll come out in September, hopefully. But what we see is that this entity, the fallen one, I call him, is able to create tornadoes. Now, it doesn't say tornadoes. It says a great wind came and wiped out this house. There was also fire from heaven that fell, and people confused it with the Most High God, El Elyon. It wasn't. It was the fallen one doing. So, again, we come back to this stuff. Something's been let loose here, in my opinion, and I realize it might be creeping some of your listeners out. Hopefully it won't. I feel something's been let loose, been allowed to attack humankind in a way that we've never seen. And it's manifesting in the earthquakes and the volcanic activity, in the bird deaths, in the pole shift, all this stuff. And I realize that's, you know, that's so, you know, woo-woo type of thing. But I believe that we're in this cosmic war that's being fought in this other dimension that we don't see. We don't see it, but manifests from time to time here. And I believe it's spilling out over the planet. And some of this stuff, yeah, some of it's natural. I get it. But some of it is supernatural, in my opinion.
Well, what do you think is being unleashed on us?
Well, I think that some of the earthquakes, for instance, are being triggered in a supernatural way. I think the Arab Spring has been triggered supernaturally. I mean, for all those people to rise up like that at the same time, it's just crazy. I mean, no, who would have imagined anything like that? I think some of that is being triggered in a supernatural way. Can I prove that? Of course not. But I'm just, again, it's a theory. It's a scenario. And by the way, I just want to make a statement here real quick that at the break I was checking some email, and someone's complaining about being charged $12 for shipping. That's a mistake, and we will refund $6 of that back for the two. We're selling both of the DVDs, Watchers 1, Watchers 2, and there's a glitch in PayPal that's charging $12, and we will refund $6 back because that's just completely ridiculous, and that was not intentional. I thought everything was up and running the way it's supposed to, but it's not. So there's a caveat now on the blog, and I've said it publicly here. So
I'll definitely jump on that tomorrow, huh?
Yep.
Got to do that. Got to do that as well. Well, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Olympia, Washington. Eric is on Coast to Coast. Hi, Eric.
Hey, George. Good to talk to you again. And yes. Hello, L.A.
Hi, Eric.
I talked to you a long time ago. And this isn't my main question, so I'm kind of weary. Bear with me. Guys, I have a loaded question for you, but I did want to real
quick. Oh, boy.
I real quick wanted to comment first, though, that I had asked you before about Isaiah 13, verse 5, they come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation destroy the whole land. You asked me to email me, and I know you get really busy. You never were able to return that, so I never knew what your comments were on that. So anything you could tell me. But the main thing that I called in about is I've been through some tremendous trials, and I'm just walking out into the light. And I've had a lot of trouble with directed energy and not being able to sleep. And I had an incident where I separated from my wife. I ended up trespassing on a cop's property, if you can believe that. And it was just trespassing, but they charged me with attempted burglary and I understand it was just craziness. And then I went to jail, and then in jail I was just under so much mind pressure and all of that, and I'm not crazy. The Lord has been building me up since then to learn how to deal with these things and be strong now. But as I walk out in the light, but because my life is just an open book. It's the only way I can be, and I hope I can serve others in some way before I leave this plane of existence. But I got so I'm in jail, and then I freaked out and I swung at a guard. I think I might have hit him, but they tackled me and beat me up, and I ended up going. They took me back to the nurse's station, and I was pretty, beat up, and understandably, and it was a foolish thing to do, but anyways, they, in the nurse's thing, they had this can of stuff, and they sprayed it on my eyes. And when I think back on it, it's probably cause I was, I've been injured, and it would seem that maybe it was some antiseptic or something. They sprayed it all over my eyes and my forehead or whatever. And one of the nurses said something. I don't remember even if it was before or after this happened, but they said, she said, oh, the mark or this is the mark or something. I don't know. And then I thought, I didn't really pay too much attention to it, but I'm like, I'm just so tired. I don't know, whatever,
Well, Eric, let me ask you something. What do you mean the mark? The mark of the beast?
Yeah, I was like, maybe they spray. I know I'm not, I don't want to sound paranoid, but it's been such a trying experience, you guys. And I feel that I'm, walking in the light, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit now, but this happened to me, and it freaked me out, because I thought, so many crazy things are happening nowadays, and I thought, who knows what they sprayed it, on my eyes and forehead. My eyes were open, and they sprayed this stuff in, and it's probably just was some kind of antiseptic stuff. Or
I would think so. I think you're looking into it a little too much, but it sounds like you're doing better now, aren't you?
No, I'm still having, I've been up, this will be my, until I get to sleep tonight, it'd be like my second night. So, I've had times when I sleep fine, but when I'm under attack, and I've just been, I've been speaking up on it, because I don't want this to happen to people like it happens to me, and they don't like it. They don't like that I want to, step out and speak the truth in this day and age and fight for it, And
who's attacking you? The demons?
No, it's direct, the directed energy, that keeps you awake. And,
well, Roger Tulsis would say that, there are some people out there who are getting bombarded. Have you heard of that, LA?
Yeah, actually I have. I'm dealing with two people that claim that, electronic psyop warfare type stuff. What's bothersome about this, when I get these calls, I'm one guy. There is no staff. It's myself and my wife with limited resources. And I'd love to be able to help, but what can you do? My heart goes out to you, Eric. I don't know what to tell you, man. Try to get some sleep, and I'll pray for you, at the break. But that's tough duty. And there's a couple of people that I'm dealing with now, and I call them up the same message. It's like, limited resources. What can you really do to stop some of the psyop stuff that seems to be happening to people? I mean, it seems to be like the real deal.
You can't laugh at them.
No, you can't.
Let's go to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hi, Cornelius.
Hey, George. Hey, L.A.
Hey, Cornelius. How you doing, man?
All right. I take it, I talked to your wife.
I know who you are.
Well, God bless both y'all and all the Coast to Coast listeners.
There you go.
And watchers. Look, L.A., you're great. And you too, George, and Tommy, your call screener. The other night I was getting ready to go to work, and it was about 3:30 in the morning. I was watching this star, and all of a sudden, it just blinked out, then it blinked back on, then it blinked back out, then it blinked out, or on again, and then it blinked out. Mm-hmm. Then it just totally disappeared. And I'm thinking all this strange stuff happening. I don't know if y'all saw that last episode of The Event where they brought that home planet into Earth.
Yes, yes.
That was unbelievable. And they canceled that show, and they canceled
yep,
V.
They canceled
it. It's
yeah.
like they don't want us to know whatever's coming.
Well,
if it had the ratings, it probably would have stayed.
There you go.
I understand that, but it's like they're warning us, and then, well, we just want to. You see what I'm saying? It's like killing it before it even comes about. But LA, I'm going to order your. But let me ask you something. You said it's six. Is it still $6 whether you just send in a money order to your address?
Yeah, I mean that's. In fact, my wife was able to go into the PayPal thing and change it. She just told me that. So I think we fixed the glitch.
Okay, I know you're talking about PayPal, but what about if you just send
Same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be.
But I wanted to say God bless you and your.
Thank you.
Pray
appreciate
for my mom.
It,
she's dying of blood cancer, but she's getting a little bit better, George. So I thank y'all for your prayers and
you're
stuff.
Welcome.
And God bless y'all.
You're welcome. We do a Friday prayer session at no specific time, but people will write in. We put them on the list and. Strange, miraculous things are happening here, Lynn.
That's wonderful.
It is very strange indeed. Chris in Baltimore, Maryland, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning, George. Good
morning.
Hey, Chris.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Excuse me. I myself call myself a biblical scholar. And I would say the exact same night that Michael Jackson passed away 2 years ago, I had a vision. And this is the first time.
By the way, Chris, where's your phone? It's
it's doing
got a lot of background noise.
I mean, let me try.
All right.
Is that better?
Yeah, it is. And I'll let me put you on hold and we'll get you during the break. But at least we got your phone fixed, so we'll fix it and get you when we come back in a moment. L.A., tell us about your websites, my friend.
I'd love to. It's lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. The blog is lamarzulli.wordpress.com. And you can watch the 13-minute special coast-to-coast trailer for Watchers 2 that is linked there. And I think we fixed a $6 shipping charge. So I think we got that fixed out anyway. So
have you become a Facebook man?
I was, and I got out of it. I do the Twitter stuff though, but not the Facebook.
Twitter's good too. That gets a lot of information.
There you go.
I'm working on a Facebook campaign in England. I want to do something in England for Coast Insiders because there's a lot of people over there that want this kind of information. Have you found that out to be true?
Well, we're actually thinking about or trying to get a conference in Scotland right now because there's a whole UFO flap right there, and these people are—I mean, look—people are crying out for answers. My friend and co-producer Richard Shaw was on a special program in Australia. Basically, they were—you know—people there are freaked. I mean, in Australia and New Zealand, they are freaked at what's going on. They're looking for answers, and Richard went on and was talking about the Torah code. Which, by the way, in Watchers 2, we did a Torah code on the moon. And guess what it said, George? You dig this. It said, we'll be observed a change in the moon in 2011.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
Stay 2012 as well. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we're going to come back in just a moment with L.A. Marzulli. We'll take final phone calls tonight for you on Coast to Coast AM. L.A. with the Watchers 2, of course, all your research is fantastic, but was there one area that even shocked you when you were putting it together?
Well, we kind of talked about it before, but that the thing with Dr. Lear, the segment with Dr. Roger Lear, specifically talking about the implants and then extrapolating what the mark, that these implants actually may have something to do with the mark because it fits the criteria of all those different prophecies which I mentioned. That's a first for me, and I don't think other researchers, I know Tom Horn has hinted on the transhumanism that somehow something like this might be happening. And here we have Dr. Roger Lear, who's got no Nephilim dog in the hunt at all. I mean, not even close to that. And isn't aware, as far as I know, of these prophecies. And he's saying, well, you know, this could be changing the person's DNA. About fell over when he said it. And so, you know, that to me was like a real eye-opener, groundbreaking. And I've written all that up in the Cosmic Chess Match. But that was just a great interview.
Great. Let's go back to Chris in Baltimore, Maryland. There you go, Chris. As promised, you're up.
All right, I'm here. About 2 years ago, it was the same night Michael Jackson died. I believe it was the 26th of this month here, June. It was on a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. I had
2 years already.
I'm sorry?
2 years already, huh?
Yes. I had a vision, and at first I thought that it was my own mind playing tricks with me, but until everything was revealed to me from this vision, I knew for surety that this was a true prophecy or a true vision, and I saw the Lord God sitting on the throne. Now he's huge, I must say. He's like how they display their gods in Greek mythology. They were like giants, and men were a huge fierce giant. He told me that I was his son, and I saw Christ also, and Christ told me that.
Okay, Chris, I'm gonna have to let you go. That beeping's driving me nuts. Get your phone fixed. Call us back if you could. I thought we had that all taken care of. Well, L.A., you know, with some of the work that you've been doing, also tell me about the Nephilim Trilogy, one of your first works.
Uh-huh. Well, those books actually continue to sell really well, and we ship them out of here pretty much on a weekly basis, and I know vendors are carrying that too. But, you know, the whole idea of a Nephilim Trilogy was to try to get people to look at the UFO phenomena through fiction. And, you know, that was basically 15 years ago now I started working on those. And it's amazing how time flies, and now we're doing video. Video seems to be king. More people read, or more people would rather sit and watch something than read. But the Nephilim Trilogy has got tons of information, tons of research went into that series, and that a lot of that research then became politics, prophecy, and the supernatural, a nonfiction work. You know, it's one thing just kind of, as the bumper music said, one thing leads to another, and that's exactly, you know, what's going on. But I got to tell you, George, I have conversations with people on a weekly basis. Unfortunately, there's no way to vet any of this stuff. When I'm talking to someone that I've never met before from another state who's had an encounter with a so-called hybrid. I mean, it's a great story. I'd like to go public with it, but there's no pictures, there's no evidence, there's nothing. It's just a story. It's a he said, she said. It's all, you know, rumor, hearsay. But I asked Chuck Messler this off the record for Watchers 2, and I said, Chuck, are there modern day Nephilim? And I realized there's a lot of controversy about this. Without missing a beat, he looked at me and said, yeah, Satan's outnumbered 2-1. He's building an army, just like that. I mean, just bam. Didn't have to think about it. I mean, the answer was right there, right in front of my face. And see, to me, this all gets back into the cosmic chess match. We are at war. We're in this cosmic war. We're casualties of a cosmic war, as it were. And when we start to plug all that in, all this begins to make sense. Without it, in my opinion, it becomes very strange, very weird. But the moment we realize that we're in this cosmic war, and, you know, people say, well, why do we have to be in this thing? Why doesn't it just end? Well, it's about to end. We're headed towards the climax, in my opinion. But troublesome times.
What happens after that, though, after the big events?
Well, let me put it this way. The whole system that we're in is abolished. This whole system of avarice and greed, when we look at the millions of people who have been killed in the gulags of, let's say, Russia and China and North Korea, all that's gone. The brutal dictatorships, disease, war, all this is gone. And what we see, I mean, to put it quite bluntly and simplistically as possible, and I love the analogy because most people have seen Lord of the Rings, and most people have seen the third installment of that, Return of the King, where Aragorn is finally crowned. 2,000 years ago, when Yeshua walked the earth, and we've talked about this before, he was crucified. And that blood on Calvary was literally for all mankind. And religion has obfuscated the very simplistic and yet very cosmic implications of that day. What's interesting is the king is going to return. And this is you know, it's not the trappings of monks with funny haircuts and stained glass windows and all the things that man has done to mucky up the water, so to speak. It's the real king, and he will return, and he talks about his return over and over and over again. And you remember, when this was like 2,000 years ago when Christianity didn't exist. And as you've heard me talk many times on this show, we have what I believe is forensic evidence, that being the Shroud of Turin, which shows us that some event happened to that cloth which created this image. And, of course, that event is the resurrection. And see, so that's the hope. And what he does when he comes back, and when you read Revelation 19:19, which is a really bizarre prophecy, because it's future. And in Armageddon, all the kings of the earth have been assembled with the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet, and they're all, get this, George, they're all looking up. They're all looking up. They think they can win. Even at that point, the hubris is so great that they think they can win. And, of course, Yeshua comes riding in. I mean, it's right out of some Hollywood script or something, but he comes riding in with the white horse with the armies of heaven and destroys this system. I can't wait for that day. He destroys this crazy system, this oppressive system. And people go, what do you mean it's oppressive? This was great. Wildlife was great. Go to Greece and say that, okay? Well, you know, and think about the $14 trillion debt that we're in. And on it goes. So it's an end of the system, and it's also an end of disease and poverty. And, I mean, that's the hope. And people say, it's just a bunch of pie-in-the-sky nonsense, L.A., you're crazy. Well, what other hope do you got to hang on, you know, hang your hat on? Planet Nibiru and the Sumerians coming back, or, you know, the Pleiadians helping us? I mean, at least we've got the prophecy. And the prophecy, you know, is very, very specific, and a lot of it's been fulfilled. And what we're seeing now is some of those prophecies being fulfilled even as we speak. So that's why I give it credence, and, of course, my own personal relationship and my own personal, you know, events that happened to me 31 years ago set me on the path that I'm on now.
And do you find yourself to be very spiritual, L.A.?
Well, it depends. We have to define that word and what it means. I definitely am involved in the supernatural almost on a daily basis. And what I mean by that is that the supernatural is very real. I believe in visions and dreams. I believe that the Most High God speaks to us in a variety of ways, dreams and visions certainly being one of them, audible voices, which are extremely rare, but they do happen, signs, and certainly through his word. So, you know, I consider myself a supernaturalist. I mean, stuff happens all the time, and I move in that. You know, I literally move in that as much as possible.
All right, let's go to Citrus Springs, Florida. Hello, Andrew. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. My pleasure.
I was wondering, earlier you were talking about the sun rising and the moon rotating and everything different. Mm-hmm. How's that affecting, like, ancient megalithic structures, like the sun daggers in America, and the way the sun sets at the pyramids and stuff like that?
Well, that would be really interesting to go and check some of that stuff out, wouldn't it? Especially if it's Stonehenge and the pyramid. And that opens up a whole vista for me, because I believe that many of those ancient megalithic structures that surround the planet, specifically Baalbek is one of my favorite ones in Lebanon, were built by the Nephilim, by the giants. And, you know, with all due respect to Zali Hawass, the Grand Poobah of the Giza Plateau, no one knows how the Great Pyramid was built. Nobody has a freaking clue how the Great Pyramid was built. We just don't know.
Or its purpose.
I'm sorry, what?
Or its purpose. We don't know its purpose.
No, we really don't know that either. That's true.
We don't. It's all conjecture.
It is. But I like to think of it as, you know, keys to help crack a code, maybe.
Well, something. I would suggest that the code is there in plain English. If you crack open the code, it takes a little bit of time to familiarize it, but the code is there. Those prophecies are very cogent, no pun intended, and they're there for anyone's viewing. I mean, they're in plain sight, and you know, you can pick that up and read what's happening in the Middle East. Go tonight and read Psalm 83. I challenge you to do that. Just read Psalm 83. And plug that into the nations that are surrounding Israel right now. Because that, I believe, is next on the prophetic agenda. The fulfillment of that scripture or that prophecy called Psalm 83.
Do you find this to be exciting times to live in?
I find it to be the most exciting times and the most tenuous times. I mean, it's the best of times, the worst of times. That's sort of where we are. I am sobered by the tsunamis and the death counts from the tornadoes, all that, the loss of life. That's very sobering to me. On the other hand, this is moving towards the return of the king, to put it quite bluntly and as simply as I possibly can.
And you don't have any doubts that that's happening?
No, I don't. I mean, if you had asked me 32 years ago, I wouldn't have said this. I would have said something completely different. But having walked this path for 31 years and been involved in the supernatural and then being a student of prophecy and seeing all these prophecies just line up over and over and over again, and some of them already fulfilled and others in the process of being fulfilled, I find that just incredible. There's no other book on the planet, George. There is, despite what these people say, I beg to differ with all due respect. There is no other tome on this planet that's got that thread of prophecy than the Judeo-Christian Bible, which is, you know, at least 4,000 years old. And it's just, it's coming, it's all right in front of our faces. It's right here, right now. We're experiencing it. Unbelievable.
Well, let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. It's Dan's turn now. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
George, L.A., good morning. I'm really waiting with bated breath for September, because I believe one of the big signs will happen in September, and that will be, will there or will there not be NFL football?
That's a good question. You know what? I don't know.
Seriously, George, seriously. I'm 53, and I've always had a sense that the end times, whatever you want to call it, holy cause, whether it be nuclear, a biblical, would happen in my lifetime, because at the age of 10, I had the most vivid dream I've ever had. It stuck with me always, of a little old lady beating her laundry against a rock in a river. And as the dream progressed, I was able to look up and see what was left of the St. Louis Arches. And,
wow.
You know, I've lived in the New Madrid Fault all my life, so I've lived with that specter.
Yep, absolutely.
But I've always had that dream. And I want to ask Ellie if, specifically, earthquakes, has there ever been a survivability study done for the best geographical location to survive? And, in particular, with his view of the end times, would he or has he done a survivability study? I mean, should I move to the outback in Australia? Would that save me? Is there?
No, you'll get hit by something there too. I don't think you can escape this planet, LA. Can you?
And I certainly concur. There's the safest place, believe it or not, is probably Jerusalem. The safest place on the planet is more than likely Jerusalem or Israel, because we know that's where it's all coming down. There's prophecies that talk about the mountains will, the islands and the mountains will flee. Mountains will be moved out of place. I think that we could be looking at some kind of pole shift here. Other people believe the same thing. I mean, a pole shift would cause incredible havoc on this planet. There's no place safe that I know physically. But, you know, if I would say that if you don't know the biblical God, might be a good time to check out that, because I think that's, you know, that's the safest place to be. I've told my wife and my kids, I say, when the earthquake happens in California, and this is dramatic, but I'll say, look, here's the deal. When this thing happens, it is unlike anything any one of us have ever experienced. You will be overwhelmed by the violence of it, because an 8-point or a 9-point earthquake is just overwhelmingly violent. At that point, call out to the Most High God. That's what I tell them to do. Call out, ask for help. And I mean, you know, it's, again, people hear that and they think it's religious. It's not. It's supernatural. It's like when a person has that relationship, it's a supernatural relationship. It has nothing to do with dogma and buildings or any of that. That's all man-made gobbledygook. Some of it does serve a purpose, but it's a real connection that's there.
It's an eye-opener for sure. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I have time, Josh, for one quick question. Go ahead.
Hey, L.A., thank you so much for taking my call. But, L.A., I'm a big fan. I've read some of your Nephilim Trilogy books here. I read the first two. Great. My question real quick is, what is your take on the Sumerian texts? I believe they were fallen angels to begin with.
I do, too.
Okay. The second question would be, you think the Nephilim's reason for the UFO spacecraft? What are they using those things for? And thanks so much for taking my call. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Well, that, you know, briefly, because we're running out of time here, briefly put, that is part of the coming great deception. What event could change everyone's worldview in a matter of seconds, change the entire global paradigm, create that one world religious system, have 1.8 Christians abandon their faith, 1.4 billion Muslims abandon their faith. And ET is it, and we're being hit with it all day long. It's everywhere. Richard Dawkins states that maybe millions of years ago in another universe, we were created by ET. So he's already promulgating it, and he's an ardent Darwinist.
It never ends, LA. It never ends. Thanks again. Watchers, too. Go to his website. For Dan Colanti, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, and Ian Punnett, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everybody.